Our reading today is Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to be reading verses 19 to 24. And you can find that on page 978 in the Church Bible. Matthew 6, starting at verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, so if you're primary age this morning and you want to see what's really happening and taking place at the front, you're very welcome to come to the front, sit on the carpet, sit on one or two of the chairs at the front, grab a parent's hand or whoever's brought you and drag them along to the front as well. So if anybody wants to come to the front and get a really good view of what's happening, come and join these good folk who are down here already. I don't know how many are going to be brave and come down this morning, but maybe you want to do that very quietly while I'm praying. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would help us this morning as we look at your word. Pray that you would speak to us and help us to understand it and to put it into practice, because we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Great. Looks like we've got some guys coming down to the front. Come and join us. That's great. You'll get a good view of what's going to happen. So this morning, we're thinking about living for God's kingdom. And I want to start off with a story, because many, many years ago, when I had hair, going back a long time, I worked in London. And I worked for the post office that became Royal Mail. And as I worked in a big office in central London, they started to tell me a story about a railway line that was deep, deep in the ground. In fact, deeper than the tube system. And I was only 21, 22 at the time, and I just wanted to go down and have a look. So eventually I heard that the chief engineer was in the office. So I went to the chief engineer and said, Mr. Chief Engineer, can we go down? Can you take me down to this railway line deep under London in the tunnel? And he said, okay. So we went down in a lift. It took about half an hour to get to, it didn't quite take that long, but it took a long time to get right down in the ground. And there was the post office railway. Little wagons. And now, this comes with a warning, guys, okay? He took me into the tunnels. But I want to say to you this morning, quite seriously, never, ever walk on a railway line. One of my friends was killed on the railway line. But this was the chief engineer, and he took me into the tunnel. And as we were walking down, he said, this line goes to whatever is the next station. And then off the line, as we were walking down, there's a little branch line that turns off, and there was a huge, huge metal door. And I said to him, what's behind that metal door? And he said, I can't tell you. Well, that's not fun, is it? And you know what happens when someone says they can't tell you? You just want to know even more. So I asked lots of questions. And in the end, I was told that that was a special line that was used at the weekend, and it went to the Bank of England. And that's how they moved all the gold in the Bank of England, in and out. And that's why no one would tell me what the line was there for. Well, this morning, I've brought something really, really valuable for you to see. It's so valuable that I've had to take extra special precautions so that you can see it. Okay, here it comes. Well, this morning we've got a 1 kilo bar of gold, and I'm going to hold it up just so we can try and get it on the camera. I'm not allowed to actually touch it. So here we go. 1 kilo bar of gold. Now, we don't often ask you to do this in a service, but I want you to grab a phone, okay? And I don't want you to play any games, but I want you to grab a phone, and using your phone, I want you to go to the calculator, okay? Now, I know that you haven't been to school for a long time, and I know that some of you are getting rusty, and you need a little bit of help. So this morning, you're going to calculate what this 1 kilogram bar of gold is worth. So, the bar is 1 kilogram. The price of gold changes all the time as it's bought and sold, but it's priced in something called troy ounces. And there are 32 troy ounces in every kilogram. And gold, last time I looked, was £1,300 for a troy ounce. So, get your calculators, and I want you to shout out, so I can hear, and I am registered deaf, so you need to shout out nice and loud. I need to shout you to shout out and tell me what this bar of gold is worth. £41,600. I think that's quite a lot of. Now you understand why I've had to bring in guards this morning. Because it's not my gold, and it's got to go back. So, imagine for a moment you lived at the time of Jesus. So houses then are made from kind of bricks made from mud and straw. And a man's got a lot of gold. And this man wants to make sure his gold is really safe and secure. And so he puts it in the corner of his house, right down on the floor. Now just imagine if you were going to steal that man's gold, how do you think you'd do it? Remember, the walls are only made of kind of brick, kind of mud bricks. How do you think you might get in and steal the gold? Anybody got any suggestions? Go on. Brilliant. We're going to have to watch you. Coming up with ideas like that, yeah. So would it be so easy, wouldn't it, for someone to get a hammer and a chisel and just take away the bits of mud brick and then steal the gold? Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Sorry, let me get that again. "For where your treasure is, there your heart is also." Sorry, so I've got my verses muddled up. "But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moss or rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." By lay up for yourselves treasure, What Jesus is talking about is gathering loads and loads of treasure up for yourself. And Jesus says, don't gather loads and loads of treasure up for yourselves. Now, treasure isn't just a bar of gold. And gentlemen, thank you so much. You can take that bar of gold away and look after it very, very carefully, please. Treasure is anything that we set our hearts on. So it can be a massive amount of money. Our treasure can be wealth, something that we hold really close to our hearts. Or it might be wanting to have an amazing job. Or maybe to have a really great flash card. You know, once I had a brand new MX5. And then someone ran into the back of it after 6 months. But there we go. Maybe what you really want in your heart is a car. Or maybe at the centre of your heart, you really kind of love sport. Sport is the kind of the dream thing. Or maybe you just want a social media presence. And you just want to be famous and have loads and loads of followers. Now, we need to be really clear this morning. There's nothing wrong with enjoying sport. There's nothing wrong with having a good job. There's nothing wrong with social media. Well, maybe. And we all need money to live off, don't we? But we need to be really clear about where our hearts are. So we're going to have the next slide that's going to come up. And there we go. This is a solar eclipse. So very, very occasionally, the moon moves in front of the Earth and blocks out the sun. In 1999, that was when we last had a total eclipse of the sun in the UK, in Cornwall. I went to France, northern France, to watch it. Now, you might want to put this date in your diary, because the next total eclipse in the UK is the 23rd of September, 2090. So just a few of you might want to put it in your diary. But there is a partial one in October this year. So imagine this morning, we've got light. And we've got this light. And this light is like the goodness of God. So, there we go. God shines light. But what can we do sometimes? Maybe we can get some money, or our dream of wealth starts just to come like an eclipse, a little bit between us and God. And suddenly the light isn't as bright as it should be. Or some of the light is hidden. And sometimes these things that can kind of, if you just hold that up there, Richard, sometimes something like money that we all need, we need to save for pensions, and there's nothing wrong with having money, and money can be a blessing to so many other people. But the danger is when that money starts to go in front of God, it starts to capture our hearts. Jesus says, we should be working towards treasure in heaven. Now, how do you get treasure in heaven? I mean, if it's so important to have some of these things, how do we go about getting treasure in heaven? Well, we live a life for God and his kingdom, trusting Jesus. The beginning of Matthew 5, for those of us who were around then, we discovered how we can be blessed by following Jesus. Now, if you were to have all the treasure on earth, anything that you can possibly imagine, how long would you have it for? Can you work it out? Yeah?
As long as possible.
As long as possible, okay. How long do you think you'd have it for?
Years.
Okay. Now, I want to tell you about a man called Rockefeller. Now, don't suppose anybody here called Rockefeller, is there? It's a strange name. But he was one of the richest men in the world in America. And he died. And at his funeral, someone saw his accountant was sitting there and went up to him and nudged him and said, how much did he leave behind then? And the accountant whispered back, everything. Can you see? He left everything behind. He might have had everything in this life. But at the end of his life, he had to leave it all behind. But if we have treasure in heaven, we have it forever. Longer than you can ever begin to think or imagine. One day, my life is going to run out and I will leave everything behind. Not many people will remember me. 20 years later, no one will remember the job I did. The flash car I always wanted will have been recycled into a washing machine. And, well, there we go. But if we live for Jesus and we live his way, we get treasure in heaven that nobody can steal. It can't rust. And it will be there for the whole of eternity. That means forever. Heaven is an amazing place for us to set our eyes on, for us to set our hearts on, and for us to start building treasure. And heaven will last forever. Do you know what Jesus says? He says, where your treasure is, the most important thing in your life, that's where your heart will be as well. So what do you spend all your time daydreaming about? The kind of thing that you really want in life. What is it you want to achieve? Because Jesus wants to say to us that God's kingdom is the only investment, that's the only thing that we should put our energy and effort into that really matters. And in the next section, Jesus wants to emphasize the point. But you'll have to wait for that because we're going to sing. Because we need to make sure you keep awake and you keep with it. So we're going to sing, and it's an older song, and it talks about all the things that we have in life and us wanting to make sure that God is the number one. So Jesus wants to emphasize the point that he's been making. And so we read the next section. The eyes are the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, we've already heard in our series about eyes and lights from Jesus. But here, Jesus is talking specifically about our eyes being the lamp of our body. So what do our eyes do? Well, with our eyes, what do? We see. Yep. And we see by letting light inside us. But Jesus says, sometimes we let light inside us. Sometimes that light that we let inside us isn't quite as bright as it should be. Have you ever been in absolute total darkness? Many years ago, I used to do something called potholing. That's when you go deep down into the earth and you wriggle through a little hole and you think, I've got 300 metres of rock above me and just an inch above my nose. And when you're down there, away from everything, sometimes it's good fun to turn out all the lights. The blackness is so inky dark. It just does something really strange to you. It's just darkness you've never seen before. Now, light and darkness are used as a picture in the Bible. It's picture language. So the picture language, light is something that's good. Darkness is something that's bad. It's a picture of blackness. Now, it doesn't mean that we need to be afraid of the dark. It's picture language. But in the last chapter, Jesus has been talking about the fact that we can let things in through our eyes that make us sin. And as we follow Jesus, we should want to take good things inside us. That's taking light inside us through our eyes. But we can also very easily take bad things inside us through our eyes too. If we look at bad things with our eyes, it makes us dark inside. So we all have to be very careful what we look at. We need to guard our eyes so that we can guard our insides. Because everything that we see lets either light or darkness into our bodies. And we want the light of God's goodness to fill us inside. So, what are we focusing our eyes on? Is it things in this world or is it treasure in heaven? There is a warning here. If we don't have a heart for God and following Jesus and his kingdom, then the light doesn't shine into us. And that light can become darkness. Now, I want us to go back to our light illustration this morning. So there we go. Richard's going to turn the light on, doing a great job here. And just imagine again, this is a picture of God's light that comes into our lives. When our eyes are healthy, we take the light inside us. But when that light gets dimmer, it can mean that we get less light. So, if, for example, we set our heart on a job that's amazing, and just imagine that job just becomes so much more important to us that it starts to get in the way of the light. So, not only is it becoming a treasure, but at the same time, it means that we're not taking God's light into our lives and into our hearts as we need to. And that can happen with all of these different things. So we need to make sure that we move all of these things, whether it's sport or car or money or whatever it is, they don't become something in our hearts that we love. Because that will block out the light of God, the light of Jesus in our lives. Now, we're nearly at the end, but I just want to do something else with the light this morning. You see, Jesus says in the last chapter that we're to shine our lights to everyone around us. Do you know what the moon does? The moon shines its light. Maybe you can see that on one of our slides. The moon hasn't got any light of its own. It just reflects the light of the sun. And the moonlight can be so bright that I've actually been hiking and mountain walking without a torch on because the moon is so amazingly bright. And we need to make sure that our lives are amazingly bright for Jesus. And we're told that we need to reflect the beauty of Jesus. So we're going to have a go this morning. And we've got so many lights on in here. I don't know whether it's going to work. But we need to be able to reflect. Can you see that? We need to be able to reflect the light of Jesus. Now, Jesus puts his light into our lives, and we're to shine that to the world around us. We better put this down quickly in case Richard starts dancing to the disco ball. Yeah. Thanks, Richard. So, we have no natural light in and of ourselves to shine. The only light that we get is from Jesus. And we have to shine the light of the, not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N. We need to shine the light of Jesus. If we're not shining our lights for Jesus, then we're not living for him as we should be. We've got nothing to shine to others. How sad would it be this morning if, as followers of Jesus, our lights aren't shining brightly? Because if the moon doesn't shine brightly, other people can't see. And we need to point to Jesus. Just the last little bit here. In Jesus, as Jesus was talking about a master, people would have the idea of masters and slaves, because that's what they had in those days. And a slave would only ever have one master. So Jesus' listeners would understand it perfectly. But Jesus wants to say to all of us this morning, you can only have one boss in your life. We sing the song, don't we? You're the boss. You're the Lord of everything. You can only have one boss. And if Jesus really is the boss in our lives, then we want to live our lives really well for him. So, have you got the light of Jesus in your life? Maybe this morning, whether we're young or really old, there are one or two obstacles that we need to get rid of. Maybe if you're really old, it's watching sport, not doing it. But maybe there's some obstacles we just need to get rid of in our lives. And just make sure Jesus really is the number one. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word to us. Please help us to make sure that we love you with all of our hearts. And if there's anything that we need to take away this morning so we can love you more, help us to do that, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.